Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 70 degrees. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
The following is a public notice. The Clintons are getting sick and tired of being accused of all the things they've done. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Red flag laws are on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of our Constitution, the wrong side of liberty, and on the wrong side of the laws of God. You know as well as I do that when the rights of one American are abridged, the rights of all Americans are abridged. This is not yet a communist nation where the rights of the state or even the rights of a majority of citizens supersede the rights of the individual. Furthermore, it is a fallacy to suggest that a mental health diagnosis by itself indicates that someone is automatically a threat to himself or others. Dr. Ann Bukacek, a highly respected medical doctor in the community in which I live, recently wrote, quote, "Mental health diagnosis given by physician or other mental health care workers do not predict firearm violence. As a physician for over 30 years who has treated many patients with mental health diagnosis and some autistic spectrum patients, I have not had one of those patients commit an act of gun violence. I did have a patient who bludgeoned a man to death with a blunt object, and that patient carried no mental health diagnosis. Psychopaths with no conscience, especially the more intelligent ones, usually escape detection and/or a particular diagnosis." Close quote.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. That was actually Chuck Baldwin. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I've got Uncle Milty with me. It is a Thursday, and also Chris Ann Hall. You can go to chrisannhall.com. She's got a fantastic show, and of course, she teaches all over the country. We're lucky to have her. Chris Ann Hall, how are you?
I am fantastic, little jet lagged. We were in Denver, then we were in California, Northern California, Redding,
working
with the State of Jefferson people, and now we're back home for 2 days, just enough time to do laundry and get back to go to Wisconsin and North Dakota.
Girl, I don't know how you do it. I could not do what you do, but I am so grateful you're out there doing it. I can't even tell you. Boy, we have a lot. I know Uncle Milty had a question for you right out of the gate.
I did, and we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, but in 2015 and 16, President Obama wrote an executive order to ban offshore drilling in the Arctic Ocean and part of the Atlantic Ocean. President Trump wrote in 2017 an executive order to reverse that and allow the drilling. A U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason, in her decision, said the wording of President Obama's withdrawals indicates that he intended them to extend indefinitely and therefore be revocable only by an act of Congress. I heard the laugh.
Yeah. So apparently, once again, this district court judge has absolutely no concept between a president and a king. There is absolutely nothing that a president can do that can extend indefinitely into the future. That would be a ruling by a king, an edict by a king. And if it is, well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Executive orders are not intended to change law, write law, or overturn law to begin with that is constitutionally created. So, hey, look, there's no authority for them. You know, there was no authority for Obama's executive order to begin with. And then to claim that his executive order becomes law is even more absurd. And then on top of that, to claim that an executive order, the very same instrument that Barack Obama was using, cannot, you know, overturn another, an executive order can't overturn another executive order. Do you know what, Uncle Milty, that actually, now that I think about that, say that all out loud, that's actually a greater power than a king.
Yes.
Because one king always had the authority to overturn the decree of another king. And this judge is actually saying that one king cannot overturn another king, or I'm sorry, was that Freudian? One president cannot overturn another president, which actually is an invented, increased power for a king.
Well, it explains why this district court judge was nominated by Obama.
Well, Well, you know, I don't want to be too crazy critical about stuff like that, but I just want to remind everybody that it was Ronald Reagan that nominated Eric Holder. Mm. So, I mean, I hate to be the one that blames presidents for these kinds of things, but we got to remember, number one, like you said most accurately, and I'm very proud of you, Uncle Milty, that the president nominated him, but it's always the Senate that pushes them through.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and is it, you know, Obama may have put forward a few good justices. Now I kind of doubt it, mm-hmm. but it's possible. You know, yeah. we don't know because he has over 1,000 that he put in on the that he nominated for the bench. So it's hard to tell how many he actually mm-hmm. put on for any good. But you know, no president has been beyond placing bad ones for partisan reasons.
Right.
So why is it that something so blatantly against the law? Mm-hmm. As what this judge just did, has to now go through the court system to be appealed?
It doesn't, actually. That's just some kind of mental problem that we have regarding the control and the power of a judge. Right now, I mean, it's ludicrous. The whole thing is ludicrous. You can look at it and see that it's just absolutely ridiculous. So you have to know that the check and balance on the mm-hmm. judiciary is not itself. Right. The external check and balance is multifold. So first off, the executive branch can look at the judge and say, "You're nuts. Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and my executive agency is going to operate based on my executive order, regardless of what you say." And then of course, the state, whose land is under question here, can always overturn it and say, "Look, we never authorized you the authority to tell us how we run our natural resources or not run our natural resources. So guess what? Regardless of an executive order, we're going to manage our own minerals and our own resources here based on the needs and the wisdom of the people of our state. We don't need the federal government's permission to do that because we're not a colony."
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, thanks for that. We're talking with Chris Ann Hall, a constitutional expert and attorney. Every Thursday, we get to hear from Chris Ann, which I absolutely love. And you started your Liberty Tour 2019. And you can go to Chris Ann Hall and you can find out the calendar of events. Pretty amazing. And hit one of these events because you'll walk away so much more educated and up on the very issues we're talking about right now. In fact, on your show, you were talking about HUD. It's funny how these things become part of our government landscape and never go away, and the fights that ensue over these things that should not be there. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I have an article at chrisannhall.com titled "Government Charity, Unconstitutional and Unlawful." Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is the basis for that article is a speech mm-hmm. that James Madison gave before the Congress trying to explain, hey, the charity's not the purpose and the privilege of this government. And mm-hmm. we should be very, very concerned about the implications by the precedent that we're setting here. He said, "I venture to declare it is my opinion that were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of limited government established by the people of America."
Right.
And then, as if, you know, not even paying attention, Congress again tries to do this in 1831 mm-hmm. by attempting to give wood to the poor of Georgetown because they had a particularly hard winter. Mm-hmm. And then you have two congressmen, James Polk and James Blair, who stood up in Congress and said, "You know what? Charity is not the job of government. We cannot be forcing people to pay us money and then giving away their money. It's not our job." And so that's what we miss when it comes to HUD. And we have, and the other thing, I started a new hyphenation.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, because Americans like hyphenation, right?
I know I do.
Yeah.
Japanese, I'm a fan.
American, whatever, American.
Sure.
So I have a new hyphenation,
mm-hmm.
Conservative socialists.
Ah.
And we have lots of conservative socialists in the Republican Party, mm-hmm. and these conservative socialists are actually blocking the Trump administration's effort to cut the HUD budget.
That's astounding.
They shouldn't even have a HUD to begin with.
Yep.
And conservative in name only. I always call it government light. It's true, though. I love your term, though. Conservative socialists, because they really do like some government.
My husband got into big trouble on our radio show earlier. I don't even know what week this is. Maybe earlier this week, end mm-hmm. of last week. Where he said, look, we got to stop using that term conservative because it has no static meaning.
Right.
And everybody uses it to puff themselves up. But in reality, those who formally call themselves conservative quite often have nothing to do with conservatism. They're actually for more spending and big government. And so people, they came out of the woodwork to challenge him. And so he ended up giving this really big, long explanation, and that's why I now call them conservative socialists, because they want to keep the name conservative for some reason, so I'll let them have it. We'll actually just give it a better clarification. I'd rather get rid of labels altogether, yeah. But if you want to be a conservative and form a big government, we'll just call you a conservative socialist.
I actually
makes
love
sense
it
to
because
me.
You know we really do need to start really separating that because it is really quite hard, and I can say Democrat and then I can say on steroids it's a progressive liberal, you know, and there really mm-hmm. hasn't been much for the conservative side to point out the neocon, and people I can't tell you how many people go, what's a neocon? And so there really are terms that we really need to get used to. It's kind of you were mentioning, you know, some of the bipartisan shenanigans. It's like Hatch, Senator Hatch. He is the one that got us dear old Ginsburg. You know, a lot of that stuff's going on, and I think it should show people how they are one party on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and that they're fighting for this government that they've landed and that they've dreamed up, and it won't go anywhere. It won't go.
You know, and I think of all the things that I appreciate Donald Trump for, mm-hmm. it's the fact that he's throwing a lot of this all back into their face.
Yeah.
So
yep.
we have...
I'll give him that.
We have this whole border control issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes this threat to shut down the border. And I don't know if he listens to the Chris Ann Hall show or somebody on his administration listens to the Chris Ann Hall show.
Do.
But we went on this big show explaining right on the day he actually made that announcement that, hey, look, the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to shut down a border.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Congress thing. And now Trump is saying, look, Congress is going to do something. So
it is kind of funny. Okay, thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
I may have to go. Thank you, ChrisAnnHall.com, ChrisAnnHall.com. Check out her show. Check out her page. It's awesome. Be right back.
Attend the same
association.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Above the border, down Mexico Way. That's where they fell in love when stars
good old Patsy.
Came out
welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. The border. I wish we could have had her on a little bit longer because I know she had to go. But there's so much, there's a lot going on today in the news, obviously. And, you know, I'm glad it is. For years there, we went without talking about it, the border problem.
Yep.
And if you've noticed, I mean, it's definitely stayed in the press, which is good. And did you want to add anything to what Chris Ann was saying?
I just love the way she explains things, and it's important mm-hmm. to understand. I think sometimes, and she mentioned this at the end of her talk, that the President Trump has a really great talent for making a statement that mm-hmm. upsets everybody, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to close the borders, knowing full well he can't do it. And then, of course, his opposition confesses that it's their responsibility, but they're not doing it. I love the way he does that to him. He does it all the time, and they always fall for it.
They put themselves to task on it. It is really kind of funny.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The first couple times you could see it, but they fall for it every time.
Yeah, I know. And I know a lot of you wonder out there, you know, who's halting this? Who's stopping this? And there's a lot of powers that be that are at the helm of that to make sure that it doesn't, you know, that there isn't a lot of action. And honestly, if that's the only way we can get action is to play them against themselves, it's kind of funny because it does shine a light on them, which hasn't been done in a long time. It was really strange because if you look back into the records of why the 2006 border wall didn't get built, even though they flung a lot of money at it.
Oh yeah.
There's a consensus amongst the articles, amongst the news that talked about it, and it said, and then everyone just sort of forgot, and then we had Obama. And I thought, well, gee, that was by design. I mean, give me a break. So that's their reason. I mean, they don't even come up with like anything plausible. They just go, and then, you know, we shifted presidents and voila, we just forgot. Yep. So it went out of the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sure did. So it is kind of interesting to watch this unfold. And I'm, you know, like I said, when we're spending $1 billion per 57 miles, this is going to take a long time if we don't speed this up and start and getting, you know, what we should for the buck. And also we should be getting about 450 miles for that, not 57. And we should be able to get some things done. One thing I have noticed about this issue, though, they're running out of tactics.
Yeah.
They're running out of stalling. They can only stall so long.
That's right.
You can only pretend to want a wall, as in your election speech, and not do it so long. You can only, yeah.
And again, I credit the president with that because he keeps it in the forefront where they have to keep doing something to stall it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. So
and
he is shining a light.
Yes,
on
he
the,
is.
On the stalling.
Not even a little light. It's a great big spotlight.
Yeah, which I actually like. I really do like that. And I've been disappointed from time to time in the stuff that's come out as far as just the shenanigans. But it is nice once in a while to get a light on it. And so I'm glad for that. In fact, Trump, he actually, I don't know if everybody remembers, I had Andrea Gallagher on the show and Eddie Gallagher, her husband, very decorated military guy. And he was accused of, in his 18th year, after winning every award in the book, he was accused of killing an ISIS guy by stabbing him as the guy was dying, you know, after the guy was shooting at him, you know. And he went to the brig. Well, Trump had to step in to finally get him into a facility where he could be with his family.
Yeah.
And so hats off to that. And I'm glad that he's caring and that he's stepping in. And Andrea Gallagher, Eddie Gallagher's wife, said, you know, it's interesting that the Navy, that these certain bureaucrats in the Navy think that they are above Trump and that they don't have to do anything he says. And that was what was becoming evident. So I love that he's in the news on the last day or so for this. I think that's just awesome, by the way. So hats off. So there was a report, and I thought this was kind of interesting. It talked about more Americans believe, to talk about a switcheroo, more Americans believe in the Clinton collusion, more Democrats believe in the Clinton collusion, all these people that supported Hillary, because of what happened with Mueller. And I think that's, you know what, if there's ever an upshot, it's people waking up. I don't even care how they have to wake up, but let's get a light, you know, there's been a light shining on this. We need more of a light shining on this. There's so much corruption.
Well, this was another bright light because between the illegal FISA warrant and the Christopher Steele Infusion GPS and the money that they did collude. I mean, it's been proven. They colluded with the Russians to get this dossier, the fake dossier.
Colluded for the uranium in their private Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stole the money from Haiti, murder list a mile long. Yeah, I mean, we're talking criminals. And so it is kind of nice to see people that did not want to see that finally start to wake up. I'll take it.
Yeah, me too. And I still look back to the day during the presidential campaign at the debate where he turned to her and said, "I'll see you in jail."
Oh, yeah, that's right, in her face.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Uh-huh.
That was a good moment.
And if they keep pursuing that, that could be where she ends up.
Hey, well, I mean, you know, she always said that, you know, all of Washington will go down if I go down. That's not a bad thing.
No,
I could take
that'd
it.
Be a great
hey,
thing.
I think it's awesome.
If you arrest her, she turns everybody in.
Yahoo! Merry Christmas. You just got your Christmas early. I think it'd be great, actually. They all think that they are so untouchable that if anything happens to them, the world falls apart. Yep. That's why they, you know, act the way they do with the shutdown and so forth and threaten it every single year and then and act like we can never have one. When we actually, I think, even sometimes do better with a shutdown.
Absolutely.
You know, a reprieve from the loss of liberty. It's kind of nice. And so I think that, have you noticed this? I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but it's as if I've seen more articles, more references from the people that have always supported Hillary sort of separating themselves, sort of kind of gearing up for maybe finally having something go on. You never know. You always think these people get out of everything and they're untouchable because she has been for years. But I will say that I've kind of noticed a little trend lately that maybe they're getting ready to, you know.
Yeah. Every time that we have one of these government shutdowns, I picture Joseph Stalin saying, if we have to shut down the government, I'm going to have to close the KGB. Oops.
Right. Oh, good heavens. So I liked this. I thought that there was something kind of, you know, kind of the upside of all of this. And the Mueller report was an upside because I'm glad that it wasn't painted in the other direction. Now, I realize all the chess maneuvers that are going on. I mean, we're not dumb. We see them. But it was kind of nice just to have some sort of something that came out that wasn't tearing all of this apart and making people believe that something had happened. So that was kind of nice. But it was interesting with Fox News. I thought I would let everyone know this. If you haven't read this yet, the House Democrats want Fox News editorial oversight. They see now Fox News is running circles around CNN. Now they're both sort of bought and sold. Okay. And they're not going, they're going to deliver different versions of the truth. It's never going to be all of it. So with that being said, this cracked me up and actually kind of made me a little, wow, we're getting to a place where people are actually asking for government oversight of news. Now, if you understand where this news is coming from, there already is government oversight. It's on what to print. But they want to move in as another kind of caveat within this and say, well, now we need government making sure that they're vocally and in the public eye telling them what to print and what not to print. And there are actually people out there that think that that's a great idea because like what Chris Ann said, you're a conservative socialist or you're a progressive liberal that thinks that more government, the better.
And you don't even want a tiny bit of the truth getting out.
Yeah. So we have more control.
Really, what they're asking for is not oversight. They're asking for complete and total censorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when I talk about the media, I'm always hoping that we're already on the same, because we've talked about it so many times, that we understand that it's all owned and directed already.
Mm-hmm.
And they do give different versions of the story. And I think I pointed that out the other day when we were talking about the big story and all of a sudden Smollett was in the news, right? And so Mueller report, that's pushed to the side on both publications, Fox and CNN.
Yep.
And they both had different spins on it. But the point was that they both put it up. And they both removed the Mueller story. And it was only in there like what, a day and a half, 2 days, and that's it. And then on to the Smollett thing that dominated the headlines. So they tell two different versions, and we need to know that they're both owned. But this presents another layer of publicly being owned so that people are asking for it. That means that we don't mind that they've been doing it behind the scenes for as long as they have, see? Because now we're asking them to overtly just come on in and tell us that you are going to oversee this. What they were angry about was that Fox News did not go with the Stormy piece in 2016,
right,
like the Democrats thought that they should. And I'm thinking, man, I could think of a lot of stories on the Clintons and on the Obamas and all of these stories that CNN definitely couched or Fox News couched too. But that was the whole premise of them saying we do need more government oversight on editorials and opinions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary place to be.
Very. Yeah. I mean, it's no wonder, actually, when you think about it, it's no wonder that journalists don't want to be journalists anymore. They just want to be propagandists.
Right.
Because if they really tried to put the truth out, they'd be killed.
Yeah, and they have been.
Yeah.
So it is a scary time. So I'll tell you, the fact that they're pushing this in the press today, that it did make me nervous, because I thought, man, we turned a corner. As much as we brought up and tried to get people to realize that they're both owned and directed, a lot of people still don't want to believe that. They still want to believe that there's conservative news and there's liberal news. There's only bends. There's only bends to those two angles. It isn't full, you know, you're not going to get truth on one and lies on the other. You're going to have a combination, and you're going to have a slight bend to one of them. And so this is a totally different curve in the matter, and I don't like it. By the way, we were talking about the border. Washington Post will not put up and will not say that there is a major amount of crime coming over the border. I'll tell you what, I don't even know who reads the Washington Post anymore for any truth at all, but they are so bought and sold, and they have been for decades, since the 50s. And I don't know why people can't see it. They're out there pushing this whole narrative that there's no crime and everybody's just so loving and everybody just wants a chance and let somebody have a little job you don't want, recognizing. So just unwilling to recognize. It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
The only thing they don't ask us to do is learn to speak Spanish.
Well, they did in California when I was there. So I grew up and went to school in Cali. We took Spanish. So I just think it's unfortunate. I think it's really unfortunate that we have news parading around as news. And it just goes to show you we need to make sure that we're looking at the right news sources, getting our news and having that barometer inside that says, hey, I'm listening to something that's true or I'm not. But we have not listened to that voice in a long time as a nation. Be right back. What's going on with Obamacare today? Kind of interesting little maneuver and the Boeing crash, all kinds of stuff. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. You can get a hold of me at Kate@KateDalyRadio. Three words, KateDalyRadio.com. Also, Kate on the Blaze on Twitter and the Kate Daly Show on Facebook. You can also contact Uncle Milty at KateDalyRadio.com. The SoundClouds are on the homepage. Information on all the co-hosts that are amazing on this show. Uncle Milty's there. What would I do without Uncle Milty? And then all kinds of information, too, sponsors and all kinds of things. And so check it out, KateDalyRadio.com. And share those far and wide, if you would, those SoundClouds. I'd love to get as much reach as possible so we can really educate. We've got global listeners and listeners across the nation. I'm so grateful for you and grateful for donations to the show. Thank you for that, because it goes right to the show. There is no middleman. It is right to the show. And I really, really do appreciate those that care and those that care about having people do research and try to get to the bottom of the story. This is so funny. This is so funny. I actually should have played Desperado. I was just telling that to Uncle Melty when we came in. You've got to hear this story. This is so, you know what? This is so typical. This is so, what is the headline, Uncle Melty?
The headline is lost. No, the headline is, was Revolutionary War hero Casimir Pulaski actually a woman?
Oh, my gosh. You know, desperation. Okay. What is their reasoning on this? What is their reasoning
well,
on this?
Well, they say that their discovery, of course, that the father of the American cavalry was actually a biological female, is that they say that they examine the skeletal remains, and this skeleton had a female-looking pelvis.
A female-looking pelvis.
Yeah. Narrow or wide hips. Men have narrow, women
wide.
So he was wide-hipped.
Okay. Maybe just a pear-shaped by nature.
He had more female facial structure and jaw than a lot of men do.
Oh, well, you know, that would tie that up with a bow.
And they claim that DNA testing also showed that he had some congenital condition known as congenital adrenal hyperplasia, which is kind of a female situation.
Well, maybe androgynous.
Maybe. The question I have is, in those days, they didn't do hormone treatments for transgender people. But yet, Pulaski had a big mustache.
Well, how did that happen?
So that wasn't exactly a female trait.
And I don't think it was painted on?
No, it was pretty real.
Yep.
Who cares if he was...
You know what? It doesn't matter.
I mean, we've known for a long time that human beings are born with different body characteristics than what they normally would have as a male or female.
$10 this ends up in the history books. $10 we're telling our youth this in 5 years. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding.
There's a photograph that shows the Chatham County coroner holding something wrapped in cellophane that they say is a skull.
What?
But you can't see it.
Oh.
All you see is this ball of cellophane. But the caption says he's holding the skull believed to be that of General Casimir Pulaski. So they can't even say for sure that it's his skeleton.
Some poor little other androgynous person.
Maybe they grabbed the wrong headstone one day and moved it over one notch, you know?
Oh my gosh, this is just so funny.
And they create this whole story behind it.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't surprise me. The reach, the desperation to prove a narrative, because this is what's sad about this story, is that all the men that bled and died, all the people that fought, and this is their story. This is the one they can come up with because it points to the feminist model of the narrative. Give me a break.
Well,
come on.
Metz, Dr. Metz, the coroner from Chatham County, how he pulled this off, I don't know. But he actually went to Pulaski's native Poland and collected a DNA sample from a descendant that they believe was a descendant.
There's a whole lot of believes in this story.
to make a positive identification. The county coroner got to do this?
Yeah. Come on.
Like, isn't his job just to verify how somebody died?
Well, you would think.
Like, recently, not 200 years ago.
One would think. This is just so ridiculous. You know, there were some women spies that were great.
Yeah.
And they hung things out on the line and in that time really helped the cause.
Absolutely.
And there was the spy rings. We've done shows on it. I had Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends come on the show, and he talked about his book that was ghostwritten. And it was a great book. The Culper spy ring. And so how did they win the war? Well, miracles, God, and they had a little spy ring that helped in the dissemination of information. And, of course, according to Hollywood, Nicole Kidman, I suppose, portrayed one of the only women that went into battle. Got it. Okay. So we might have had a few, but that... It's so sad to me because it's in lieu of not talking about all of those that were brave. And, you know, when we talk about those that fought in the Revolutionary War, we're not sitting there, you know, only talking about the fact that they were men, because they were just brave individuals that went to war. And so I think that what's sad about this is it takes away from what actually happened.
Right.
And we don't hear that. All we have to hear is, please have some faith that we believe we found something that would prop up the feminist movement in this country and make feminists feel really good when they go to bed tonight. You were essential in the Revolutionary War, but that wasn't the case. They were not. So, but, too bad. They can't rewrite history.
But actually, this story is more about transgender than it is feminism.
That's true. That's true. So, it does have a pretty strong angle.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it's fiction. But I'm sorry. It's fiction.
But at the same time, the whole transgender movement is, I believe I'm a female, therefore I am.
Right.
Therefore, everything about me is female, even though it's not. And
right.
We clearly all know that. It's like watching a soap opera. We all know that that soap opera is not real, but it's the narrative I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe so hard. Please make it factual. And this is the same. That's the same kind of story to me. And then we don't talk about the stuff that actually caused us to fight and win that war.
And every war has had female spies.
Yeah.
There's a real famous one that everybody recognizes the name.
Yeah.
Mata Hari. Everybody knows that name.
Yeah. There's some women warriors in the past, and there's some but This one kind of surprised me because I just thought it was a reach. It's kind of like the border situation where what are they doing now? It's as if they sat in a room. It's as if they sat in a room, the deep staters, and they're like, gosh, you know, how are we going to get people really emotional about this? Because our propped up liberal progressives aren't doing it. Oh, beer. We tried avocados. Avocados wasn't working. You know what? Take away their beer because then they'll respond. It's true.
It worked for me. I was real upset this morning.
Yeah.
Because not only could I not have my guacamole dip with my chips, but I couldn't have my beer with my chips either.
Your lunch is wiped out.
Yep. That's it. So lunch and dinner.
It's the desperation of trying to go for how can we
manipulate
and solidify something in the press or in the minds of the people that will solidify what we're trying to, what we want to have happen. And it's a little different, but it's the same kind of manipulation. It's like, you know, beer. Come on. Let's talk about the crime going over the border. Avocados and beer. This is just getting ridiculous.
On National Burrito Day.
On National Burrito Day. No less.
Yes.
No less. Also, a lot of information today on women in the draft.
Ooh,
women in the draft.
There is no draft.
Yeah. And and is it coming? And the draft is, you know, there were some different articles on this. I know Intellectual Takeout did one. This one was from 2 years ago. And what they did was they keep putting this and regurgitating it in the media. And they keep talking about it because they want us to be very, very aware that we are going to be looking at a scenario where that a lot of people in this country propped up. And it's really sad to me because I don't think women should be on the front line. I really don't. I know it's controversial, and there are women out there that don't like it when I say that.
Yeah.
We are capable that we can do everything, and no one will stand in our way, and we're going to do it exactly like the men. No, you won't, and no, you shouldn't be out there. And the men have more liability when you're out there.
Because they'll be worried about the women.
Yep, which I want to preserve that. Thank you very much. I'm all for men caring about those women. So for the very premise that they wouldn't, that they would be distracted and it's a huge liability, I'm actually glad that that hasn't changed. And I'm glad it's still the same out there.
The thing is the women in the draft isn't even an issue.
Mm-hmm.
There is no draft. They first are going to have to reinstate the draft before they can even discuss whether they include women or
not. Right. And we had that back in the day, we had that Senate vote a couple of years back, you know, that required young women to register for the draft, right? And to me, you know what it is? It's backfiring. It's backfiring on these women that are all about making sure that no matter what, we get credit for doing every single thing.
Yep.
And we really can't do it. That's why they have to change the requirements for firemen sometimes, for policemen, for military, is because of that same thing. They have to adjust it. We are totally different in the way that we go about things. We're totally different in our in strength and what we can do. I mean, there's a couple of women out there. I'll give it to them. You know, you can't tell.
Of
you can't
course.
Tell much of the difference. But for the most part, it just doesn't work.
My greatest fear is being in a fire, half passed out, unable to move myself, and look up and see a 110-pound woman that's going to carry me out.
Passed out from
say
your beer
goodbye.
And your beer and guacamole. you were just feasting on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, this is it's an issue, and one we're going to actually have to grapple with. We're actually going to have to deal with that someday. We really are. I can see it coming. Yeah. Can't you?
Yep.
You know, we all know what's going to happen, and in our future, and that is going to be a sad day. There's going to be a lot of baby boomers raising children, right? Or yeah. A lot of people are sent out, and I don't want to see that.
I really don't think it'll happen. I don't think
you don't.
You know what? I actually don't believe we'll have a kind of a war that requires a draft.
Really?
Yeah.
I do, actually.
Well, that kind of war means that you have to have a military that's being trained to be shipped overseas to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening.
You don't? Really?
Not on a large scale like in World War II.
Oh, I do.
I mean, we talk all the time about the troops we send mm-hmm. over to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are fairly small, actually, the number of troops that we have sent over. You know, mm-hmm. to get even close to World War II or Vietnam, you have to figure in 10 years of Middle Eastern war.
Hmm.
So the numbers aren't that, you know, big.
Oh, I disagree. Who do you agree with? 888-673-1450. I disagree. I can totally see us going in. I'm waiting. I swear to you, a very large false flag is coming globally. A very large one. And I don't know why that's my gut feeling, but I just feel that way. And I can't quantify that, so it's check.
No,
but...
and there are people that believe mm-hmm. like you, and there are mm-hmm. people that believe like me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that absolutely don't think a revolution could ever happen in mm-hmm. the United States, and there are people that are.
Mm-hmm. And there are people that think it's already begun.
Yeah, there are people that think it's already begun. So the proof will come at some point on all of these things.
Yeah.